Good morning. It's the 24th of November. Our New Testament reading today is 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read to you from Brother Alfred Nichols' book on Timothy. And this passage has to do particularly with verse 3 of our chapter. Brother Alfred quotes, "That without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers," and then writes, "Once again, the conventional expression of concern for the recipient of the letter is transformed, giving us an insight into the spirituality of an apostle who has the capacity for taking others into his pastoral care through prayer and intercession for them." We might want to look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, Philippians 1 verse 3, Colossians 1 verse 3. "Without ceasing" is applied by him to prayer, thanksgiving and remembrance in Romans 1, 1 Thessalonians chapters 1, 2 and 5, and refers, of course, to a continual habit and not something which is continuous. We must never abandon the practice of prayer. In the Hebrew idiom of Psalm 109 verse 4, "I pray." The italicised words we find in the AV, "give myself unto," have been inserted by the translators to fill up the meaning for the English reader. For the psalmist, it is as though "I" and prayer were the same thing. It is evident that much more attention should be paid by the modern disciple to the question of prayer on behalf of the Brotherhood in general, and individuals in particular. In the discussion of this point, two views usually emerge. One, that there should be special prayer for particular purposes, in case of sickness or other distress, or projects being planned by the Ecclesia. Or, two, others feel that such prayers and intercessions should be part of the regular pattern of ecclesial life, the special need giving direction to the prayer of, say, the presiding brother when the ecclesia assembles for its weekly worship. It is a great pity that there should even appear to be a conflict of view on such a matter. The important thing is not whether there should be a special prayer meeting or not, but that the intercession should be made, if not in public, then in private. Both practices have scriptural precedent, for besides the apostles' private devotions, which we are now considering, there were occasions when prayer was made without ceasing of the church. For Peter, for example, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. The ministry of prayer is something in which all can engage, and many can testify to the strength, courage, and increased faith that comes from the knowledge that others, individually or collectively, remember them without ceasing in their prayers. And so the apostle goes on to express his desire to see Timothy once again. Perhaps the request formed part of Paul's earnest supplications, and there is certainly the implication that if the young man tarries any longer, he will be too late. This yearning to see again a beloved face, or even to behold for the first time those who were known only by their spiritual relationship, is a frequent theme of Paul. So important to him were the persons of those in Christ. His was no fellowship in the abstract. It had to do with sharing with people the fellowship of Christ's sufferings in joyful anticipation of the glory to follow. These exhortations from the Apostle give us much food for thought as we consider our spiritual lives in this 21st century as we wait for the coming of the Lord. Thank you for listening.